right. Erev Tov to everyone. Welcome back. Tonight we continue with the 13 pillars, the penultimate pillar, next to last, and that'll be Bias HaMashiach, 12th Yesod in the Rambam, sponsored again by Becky Navi Katz, Yehili Nishmas, Yonah Ben Aryeh Leib. Well, this is for sure the most well-known and popular of all the Yesodos. Certainly has the most nigunim set to it. Ani ma'amin b'emun Hashem v'yas ha-Mashiach af ha-pish shis ma'meah imko z'achak elo achak elo v'chol yom sh'yavo. I could think of five melodies off the top of my head. But the starting point that we've always had for all of these Yesodos is why? Why is it a Yesod? Granted, so we believe that Mashiach will come, but how fundamental could it be if we are 5,770 years since the creation of Adam and he hasn't come? All the other Yesodos to date talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu or talk about the Torah that's indispensable. Our understanding of God and our understanding of Torah are indispensable aspects of our lives. It would seem at first glance that Mashiach is not, because we've lived so long without Mashiach. So then why is it a Yesod? What would be different about our understanding of the world if, Rahman al-Tzlan, there was no Mashiach? How would our lives change? What would change? What changes in Torah without Mashiach? Now the paradox is really illustrated by the famous Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, which is number 2 in the handout. Omer Rav Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish quotes the pasuk in Vayechi, Vayikra Yaakov el bano vayomer heyasu vagid lachem. Yaakov says, come, gather, says to his sons, gather and I'll tell you what will befall you, Bachri Seyamim. Bikesh Yaakov Lagavos Levonov Kate Seyamin. Gemara says that Yaakov, we know from the Rashi and Vayechi, but it's the Gemara Psachim. Yaakov wanted to reveal to his children the end of days. Minestalka Mimeno Shechina. And the Shechina departed him. So, Mimonovshech, if this knowledge is important, so why did the Shechina depart him? And if this knowledge is not so important to Jewish life, so why tantalize us with Bikesh Legalos? Which is it? But the fact is there is this ambivalence. We have to possess a conscious awareness of the redemptive potential in every moment. In fact, that's the pshat in the Gemara, that if Yaakov had revealed when the Kates would come, so then if the Kates was not imminent, we would lose an awareness of the importance of Mashiach. We wouldn't think about it until a couple years before, a couple months before, days, a couple minutes before. Wouldn't think about it until it was imminent. No, we always have to live with that expectation. Ki krovo Yeshua si lovo. In fact, we say in the davening every day, Ki lishua scho kivinu kol hayom. It's every day. Every day we're mitzapim lishua. We anticipate the redemption. So that's the question. Why? What Yaakov said is now understandable. In other words, Bikesh Legalos to say that it's important. But nostalgia, so we shouldn't lose a sense of the redemptive potential of every moment. So what exactly is this Yesod? Let's look first in the Rambam, number 1. The Yesod HaShnei Masar Yemos HaMashiach. The 11th Yesod is the Messianic era. V'hu la'amin u'lameis she'avo. Simply, it is to confirm and to verify that he will come. V'lo yachshov she'yisacher. We should not think that he's going to delay or be late. That's the pasuk in Habakkuk. Im yismama chakelo. If he tarries, wait for him. Bo yavo, the Navi says. He will certainly come. But as we wait, tarrying, waiting, are implications of time. V'lo yasum lo zman. We should not apportion any particular time period to him. V'lo yasa lo svaros pa mikros lahotzi zman biyoso. nor should we use psukim or arguments or rayos or mystical investigations in order to deduce when he's coming. The Chachamim Amrim Tipach Ruchon Shel Mechashvei Kitzin. Chacham said, Mar Sanhedrin, that the wind should blow out, the spirit should blow out of those who calculate when the end will be. V'shiyamin bo, we should confirm Sheyelo Yisron Umayla V'chovar HaKol HaMalachim Shiyu Me'olam. He's going to have some advantage, some feature, some exalted quality over all the kings in the world and those that preceded him. Ulegadlo ulaavo lespal b'shvilo. We should magnify him and love him and daven for him. Like all the Nevi'im, from Moshe until Malachi, prophesied. Also, Misha Stapek, Malachi Olavashvam. Who Misha Stapek bo, whoever doubts Mashiach, on Yismait etzlo ma'aloso, or who diminishes his great virtues, Kofar b'Torah, he's a heretic, denies the Torah, Sheyahadobo b'Ferish, b'Parshas Bilo, b'Parshas Atemitzavim. Denies the Torah that spoke of Mashiach in a number of places. Umichlal Yisod Zeh, part of this Yisod is Shein Melech Yisrael Ela Mibeis David Mizer Shlomo Bavad, that the king of Israel can only come from the house of David through his son Shlomo. V'chol acholek al mishpacha zos, whoever challenges this family, Kofar b'Hashem Yisbaruch Hu v'divrei Nevi'ov. He has again denied God and denied his Nevi'im. A few questions to ask on the way the Rambam explained it. Why is waiting part of the Yisod? Very interesting if you think about it. I mean, it's so much a part of how we look at Mashiach, because he has tarried. So it's part of the Yisod. Afal pishi yismameya im kol zeh hakelo, even though he's tarried. But why should that... That is a detail in terms of the time that he's going to come. Biasa Mashiach itself should make no reference to that. In other words, we should be mamin b'viasa Mashiach, period. Once you're mamin b'viasa Mashiach, so that's it. But it seems that additional component to the Yisod that im yismamo hakelo, if he tarries, don't lose hope, wait, he'll come. But why is that part of the Yisod? And why is anyone who negates the Mashiach kofir b'Hashem? See, he's not kofir b'Hashem, he's kofir b'Mashiach. No, he's kofir b'Hashem. He denies God, denies the Torah. So why, in fact, is that? Mashiach, of course, is a pervasive notion. One of those things that, as we say in the Tefillah, it's Meshulosh, b'Torah, b'Nevi'im, b'Ksuvim. It's something that's universal in our literature from the beginning until the end. When did it start? Well, it actually started in Vayechi, we'll get to it in a moment, but look at number three. When God promises David that his heir, who will be Shlomo, will build the Beis HaMikdosh, but not David himself, so God says to him, "Echazdi lo yasur mimena, I will not remove my kindness from him, kasher hasirosim imshol asher hasirosim ilafanecha, like I removed it from Shaul, I removed it from him, took the monarchy from him, that will not be the fate of your heir who succeeds you. Not only that, but at the same time, I gave a share of this years ago, the same time that God told David he would not build a Beis HaMikdash, God confirmed Malchus Beis David forever. V'ne'eman Beischo u'mamlachtecha ad olam lefanecha, and your house, your kingdom will be confirmed forever. Kisacho yenachom ad olam. Your throne will be firm for eternity. That's a promise that God made to David, that in fact his heirs would always rule, and if there is some break in their monarchy, it would be restored. We see this concept first in the Torah, in the brachos of Yaakov to his sons. Number four, lo yasur shevet mi'huda u'machokek mi'bein raglov. The rod will not depart from Yehuda, nor the lawgiver from between his legs, meaning he will never cease Ad kiyavo Shiloh, v'loy kasamim, until Shiloh comes, and to Shiloh there'll be an assemblage of nations. What Shiloh? Rashi says, Melech HaMashiach, Shemelucha Shiloh. Shiloh, Shiloh, kingdom is the Messiah's, and that's the reference. Or the Medrash says, Shiloh, Shiloh, Shenemar Yavilu Shiloh Morad. It's a gift to him. Mashiach is a gift to the world. Mashiach is a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense. Shiloh, so Shiloh, or in English they say Shiloh, I think. The first reference to Mashiach is the brachos of Yaakov to his sons, that Yehuda will retain the monarchy through the time Mashiach comes. It will never end. Number six, Pasuk in Safanya, Paragimel, Pasuk Ches. Look at the Pasuk, see if you find anything, if you could deduce anything interesting in the Pasuk. So God says, Lochein Chakuli Num Hashem, therefore wait for me, L'yom Kumi La'ad, the day that I arise. Ki mishpati la'sof goyim makapsi mamlechos l'shpoch aleim zami koch aron api, because my judgment will be to gather all the nations, to gather all the kingdoms, to pour upon them my anger, all my wrath. Ki be'esh ki nasi tochal kol oretz, because in the fire of my vengeance, my zealousness, the whole land will be consumed. Of course, the next pasuk after this is the famous pasuk of Ki Oz Epoch Elamim Sofo V'Rol Kurkum B'Shem Hashem. So that's the reference. That then I will cause all the nations to speak a clear language, to call in the name of God. And what's unique about this pasuk? It's the only pasuk in all of Tanakh that has the entire Aleph Beis in it, as well as all the Osio Sophios, the final letters, Menatzbach, Mem Nun Tzadik Bei Chav. The only such pasuk in the Torah, in the Tanakh. The Torah has a pasuk with all of Aleph Beis in it. But in the Torah and Tanakh, there's only one pasuk that has Aleph Beis and all the Otiot Sofiot. Why? To show that it's a Yesod that encompasses every idea, every expression of every idea in Yadus, Biasa Mashiach, that Mashiach will come and the world will find its... I know you're all checking now, but you could do it. Trust me anyway. The world will find its justice. Next, in Shir HaShirim, number 7, Iti Milavanon Kalo, Iti Milavanon Tavoi. You'll come with me, my bride, from Livanon, or I'll come with you from Livanon, and we'll go back, Tavoi Milavanon. So Rashi says in 8, Kishetiglu Milavanon Zeb. When you're exiled from the Beis HaMikdash, this Levanon, Iti Tiglu, you'll be exiled with me. Ki ani eglei imachem, I'll be exiled with you. Iti mi Levanon tavoi, kishetashuvu min agola, when you return from the exile, ani ashuv imachem, I will return with you. V'af kol yimei agola b'tzar ascha litzar, and all the days of the exile, I am with you in your travails. And that's Iti mi Levanon tavoi. Kishetiglu milavanon ze iti tavo. When you are redeemed from this mikdash, you will go with me. So it says, on the return, not iti lilavanon tavo, it will go back to Levanon, but rather it's like one unending journey. Lamar, mishas itzi aschem mikana chas bi aschem kan, ani mochem b'chol asher teitzu v'tavo. No, there are no stops and starts. There are no hesitations. It's all one journey. So we've gone milavanon, and we're really returning milavanon. That's what draws us back. But the notion of geula, of redemption, that golus for Jews, exile is followed by return and redemption, that's this yesod. Or in Yeshayahu, Perek Chavav Posuk Beis, Pischu Shearim, open the gates, the Avogoy Tzadik, let the righteous nation come, Shomer Emunim, guardians of the faithful. Rashi's at the top left, the number 10. Pischu Sharim Shalom, open the gates. Here it's talking about Yerushalayim. The Avogoy Tachogoy Tzadik, let the righteous nation enter, Shomer Emunim, Sheshomar Vitzipob Galuso Yamim Rabim, that it preserved and it anticipated the exile many days. What do they anticipate? What did we anticipate? Le'umunaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the faithfulness of God. Shekayem avtachaso sheftiach al pi nevi'ov legolam, that he would fulfill his promise that he promised through his prophets to redeem us. Or finally, in number 11, possibly say every day in shul, Nafshi Lashem, Mishamim LaBoker, my soul is God's. Mishamim LaBoker, Shamim LaBoker, from the guardians of the morning who guard the morning. Who are those guardians? Hareini Rashi, Hareini Minamit Sapim Lagulog, Shamim LaBoker, those who await the morning. Exile is night, the morning is Geula. Nafshi Lashem, Mishomrim LaBoker, from those shomrim, this is a noun, to those who are shomrim as a verb, mitzapim yichazrim, mitzapim keitz achar keitz. If we think the end is coming and it doesn't, we just keep looking. We just keep waiting as if it's going to come. So you see, it's a pervasive notion throughout the Torah. And of course, we could spend just months going through all the words of Chazal on the subject. I just want to look at the Rambam, because that's his yesod we're discussing. So let's look in Hilchos Malachim, Perkut Av, Halacha Aleph, the very end of the Yad HaZaka, number 13, where the Rambam discusses this. HaMelech HaMashiach, Asid Lamod, Olahachzir Malchus David, Liyoshna, Limemshela, Rishona. The Melech HaMashiach, the King Messiah, will reign in the future, return the monarchy of David to its original state. Ubonah Mikdash, builds the Beis HaMikdash, Mekabetz in Chei Yisrael, gathers the exiles of Israel, Bichazrin, Kol HaMishpatim B'yamav Kishumikodem, and all laws return. The whole Torah system is implemented. Makrivin Karbanos, Osin Shemitim Yovelos, Kechol Mitzvos Amur V'Torah, Karbono, Shemitah, Yovel, everything is restored. It was the Torah system is again fully operational. So you see, Mashiach, you know, is not just singing and parties. He has tasks, and we're able to determine whether Mashiach has come by whether he has fulfilled these tasks. Whoever doesn't believe in him, or doesn't wait for his coming. Lo b'sharnevim milvad hu kofer. It's not that he just denies the words of the other Nevi'im, ela b'tor Moshe Rabbeinu, denies the Torah Moshe too. Shere Torah he'idolav, the Torah itself testified about Mashiach. That's what the Rambam referenced in the Perish of Mishnayis from Atem Nitzavim, these psukim. V'shav Hashem lakecha shfuscha v'richa mecha v'shav v'kibetzcha emini dach v'tzeh shimoy v'shav v'kabetzcha Hashem lakecha v'vircha Hashem lakecha al-aretz asher yoshav v'secha v'yishto v'chulei v'chulei. Eil ha-dvarim mefurashim b'tarim kolam kol ha-dvarim shenimra adei kol ha-Nevi'im. These few psukim that you find in the Torah, they include everything that the Nevi'im would say. The Nevi'im elaborated on it. And the greatest elaboration of Mashiach in the Torah you find in Parshas Bilam. V'shom nima b'shnei ha-Mashichim. There, Bilam spoke of two messiahs, Mashiach HaRishon, Shudavid, Shoshias Yisrael. It was David who redeemed, who saved Israel from Tzareim, their enemies of the day. The latter Mashiach, Mashiach Acharon, Shomei Mibanov, who arises from his children, Shoshias Yisrael, Miyam Ben Esav, saves us from Esav. So those are the two. That's the dualism in the Psukim in Parshas Balak. Erenu velo ata, I see him but not now, that's David. Ashirenu, I look velo karov, he's not near, that's Melech HaMashiach. Dorach kachov miyakov, David. Kamshev mi Yisrael, that's Mashiach, etc. That's how all the psukim adarshan. Halacha gimel, so if you look at Halacha Aleph, it would seem that Mashiach, is a very skilled politician. He does the work of a politician and a religious leader as well. And that's how we understand him. In fact, that is how the Rambam understood him. Others have a more miraculous, supernatural view of Mashiach, not the Rambam. Val yalo da'atcha shemelech ha-Mashiach tzarech lasos osos u'movsim. Shouldn't think that the Mashiach has to be a miracle man. I don't know, for some reason, they don't teach the children this Rambam. They teach the others who speak of Mashiach as doing miracles, defying nature, as the whole world changing, etc. Don't think that Mashiach does miracles and wonders, Mechadish Dvarim Ba'olam, where things become new in the world, or Mechai Mesim, where he resurrects the dead, V'kayotzi B'dvar Me'el, things like that. Agavurcha, Tchias HaMesim is the next, so we'll discuss it. The Rambam distinguishes between Yemos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMesim, the two separate inyanim, in fact, two separate time periods. Ein adavar kach. That's not how it is. You don't anticipate any miracles from Mashiach. And we see Rabbi Akiva chacham gadol mechachmei mishnahu. Rabbi Akiva was the great tanoim. Vuhu hoya nosei kelov shel ben koziva hamelech. And he was the armor carrier, meaning he was a staunch supporter of Bar Kochva. Vuhu hoya omer alav shumelech haMashiach. And he would say that Bar Kochva was the king Messiah. V'dimahu, and not only did he construe, but v'chol chachmei doro, shumelech haMashiach. Wasn't just Rabbi Akiva. Sometimes we think it was. It wasn't. He and all the chacham of his generation thought Bar Kochva was the Mashiach. Ad she'nerag bavanos, until he died. He was killed. Kevin she'nerag, no delahem she'no. And once he was killed, it became clear that he's not the Mashiach. All right, you don't have to ask, but obviously the Chabadniks, or the Mashiachistim, just completely discount this Rambam, which they do. The point the Rambam is making is that the Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva, did not ask Bar Kochva to prove his messianic capacity through any sign or wonder. The essence of the matter is like this: the Torah is eternal; it never changes. We don't add from it; we don't subtract from it. Whoever does is a rush of Apikoris. That's not the Torah. All the Torah is the Mashiach comes. He's Ben David. He's a king of flesh and blood. He does wondrous things, but they don't have to deviate from nature. That we do not look for at all. He's defined by his tasks and by his accomplishments. Turn the page, look at 15. I think your top line is rubbed out. It's Halacha Dalet. Yes. He was. That's correct. No, he was a descendant of the royal house of Israel, Bar Kochla. Royal house of David. That's why they thought that. Right, in fact, Rabbi Akiva said, that's how he got the name, Darach Kochov Miyakov, since he was of Ben David, so they call him Bar Kochva, son of the star, from that pasuk. Halacha Dalet, Bim Yamod, so how do you know who Mashiach is? Isn't that a good question people ask today? In fact, they ask in every generation. So the Rambam has a very simple, albeit difficult to attain, standard. If a king arises from the house of David, meaning Malchus Beis David is restored before Mashiach comes. So a king arises, and he meditates in the Torah, and he does mitzvahs like David his father, like the Torah Shevichsav in Balpeh, and he forces all Jews to follow the Torah and to strengthen it. He fights God's battles. Then we presume he is Mashiach. As the Rambam has a flexible standard, we go from Cheskas Mashiach to Vare Mashiach. Cheskas Mashiach, a king arises from Beis David. He's an observant Jew. He's a pious Jew. He's a learned Jew. He's able to convince all other Jews not to talk in shul and to be faithful to Torah as well. And he fights God's battles as well. We'll say he's Becheskas Mashiach. We presume he is. It's a good start. Im also v'tzliach, if he does this and is successful, v'nitzach kolu Moshe svivav, and he's able to vanquish all the surrounding nations, u'bono mikdash b'mkomo, and he builds the Beis HaMikdash, v'kivetz in Chai Yisrael, and he gathers the exiles of Israel, hareze Mashiach v'vadai, then he's definitely Mashiach. So a person can be a presumptive Mashiach, then he goes to be certain Mashiach. Who does this evaluation? Sanhedrin. That's their province. V'yimlo etzliach adko. But if he doesn't succeed, let's say he just, he can't get them all to stop talking in shul, just most of them. Onerag, or he's killed, dies. So it's clear that he's not the one the Torah promised. And he's like all the other kings of Beis David who were wholehearted, who died. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. You're not the bad person just because you're not the Melech HaMashiach. You could be a great person too. You're just not Mashiach. And God did not raise him up except to test people. And you see occasionally you have imposters, charlatans. Of course, we know historically it was so. Who claim to be Mashiach. It is based on Psukim in Daniel. Amongst the intelligent ones, the wise ones, they will stumble because they see that people are arising who they thought were Mashiach, but did not satisfy all the criteria. Now, the next part, of course, the famous censored part of the Rambam, Vaf Yeshua Hanotzri, even the Jews of Nazareth, Shadima Shiyah Mashiach Menarik Bebeistin, who pretended to be the Messiah, and he was killed in Beistin. But don't let the Christians know. But that's what the Rambam says, that we killed them. Kvar Nisnabe, don't let Mel Gibson know either. Kvar Nisnabe Bo Daniel. Daniel testified, prophesied about him also. Uvnei Paritzeam Cha, Inasu Lahamin Chazomin Echsholu. You'll have the children of some lawless people in your nation. They will exalt themselves to raise up a vision, and they will stumble. They will stumble. How do we know he wasn't Mashiach? Can there be a greater stumbling block? Call on a VM Dibru Shah Mashiach Gol Yisrael Mashiach, Makavitz and Chayim, Machazek Mitzvasan. All the Nevi'im spoke about the Mashiach who would redeem Israel and save us and gather us in the exile and strengthen mitzvahs. And this character is exactly the opposite. That's why they have to speak of a second coming. The first didn't go that well. He caused us to be destroyed by the sword, and to have our remnants scattered, to lower us, diminish us, and to exchange the Torah for something else and cause most of the world to err and serve a distorted view of God. So he can't be. But the thoughts of the Creator, so no person can fully understand them. God's ways are not ours, nor his thoughts our thoughts. Point here is that why was he so successful? That's the implication of the Rambam's question. So he was Bnei Paritzei Amcha, son of lawless people, did tremendous harm. But yet, he has a whole religion, over a billion people. So now the Rambam adds, and you can see why this was censored. You can see also why this has been distorted over the centuries. V'chol hadvarim ha'elu shal Yeshua ha'notri v'shal zeh Yishma'eli shaman acharav, and all these matters about Jesus, about the Yishma'eli, Muhammad, who came after him, einon elo liyasher derech la'melech ha'mashiach. They served a purpose, a divine purpose. In other words, they were false prophets. But nonetheless, they moved the world in a certain direction to smooth out the path to the Messiah. And to perfect the world slowly, gradually, to serve God together. That's the Pasuk in Sfanya. How is this done? Well, think about it. Kvar nismalei ha'olam kulo. The whole world knows the concept of Mashiach. The Christians think now of Christ means Messiah in Latin, but they think of the second coming. The Messiah is going to come. And the Muslims speak about the 12th Imam, the hidden Imam, who's going to come as well. So you have several billion people in the world who, because of these false religions, now know of the concept of Mashiach. Not only of Mashiach, they know of Divrei Torah, Divrei Mitzvahs. They know what they call the Old Testament or the Bible. They know of Taryag. They know of God and Jews. They know all those things. So it was, in fact, a step up from paganism, from idolatry. U'pashu dvarim elu ba'iyim rechokim, u'v'amim rabim arle lev. And these matters, these ideas spread into far-flung islands and to many nations of uncircumcised people, meaning Christians and Muslims are both proselytizers, and they have missionized their faith across the globe to parts of the world that were less than civilized, Africa, South America, Asia, etc., bringing all these ideas. They brought a lot of trouble as well, as we know, but they brought these ideas too. V'heim nosim and nosim edvarim elu. So they discuss these matters with them, and then it's the Torah, and they each have their own distortions. Elu omer mitzos, elu emes oyu. One group, Christianity, opines that these mitzvos in the Torah were true, but ukvar batlu bizman hazeh, they were nullified, they were replaced, succeeded by something else. V'lohoyu nogos l'doros, and they haven't been observed for generations. That's the Christian heresy. V'elu omrim, and the Muslims say, dvarim nistaros yesh b'hem, there are many hidden things, the allegories. V'enum kipshutom, we don't understand them in the simple pshat. Ukfar po Mashiach v'gilu nistarim, Mashiach already came and revealed the hidden things, and when he comes again, so we'll know even more. But, so they each have their own distortions, their own errors, but there's a positive benefit to it as well. The benefit will accrue k'sheyamod ha-melech ha-mashiach be'emes, when the true Messiah arises, v'yatzliach v'yorim v'yinaseh, and he is exalted and uplifted, miyad hein kulam chozim v'yodim, they will all return and all know shesheker nochlo avoseim shenaviyeim avoseim hitum, that they were bequeathed falsehoods from their fathers and their prophets led them astray, but nonetheless at least it will make sense to them. Imagine Mashiach comes to a world that has no concept of the Bible, of Avram, of Yitzhak, of Yaakov, Mitzrayim, of mitzvos, of creator of the world. All you had were pagan ideologies. It would be a world where Mashiach, even with the expansiveness of the internet, would not be able to make any inroads at all. Now it requires not a recreation, but rather requires a course correction. That's what Mashiach accomplishes. Finally, look at number 16, on the top left. It's the end of the Yad HaChazakah, Perek Yud Beis. Halacha Aleph, Al Yala Al Alev. So the Rambam has a minimalistic messianic era. It's again something that we try, unfortunately, to impress our children with how different things will be when the Mashiach comes, rather than how similar they will be. How it's possible to have many of the benefits of Yemos HaMashiach even today, as we'll see in a moment. Aliyal alev, you shouldn't think Shabimos HaMashiach Yevatel Dovim Minhago Shel Olam, that anything will change in the world. Ashiyah Shom Chidush B'Maseh Breishis, so something new in creation. Ela Olam Kimin Hago Noheg, the world continues as it always was. V'zeh Shenem, or all the Psukim in Yeshayo, Yecheskel, all the Nevi'im that speak in allegorical terms, like V'gar Ze'ev Im Keves, V'Namerim Gedi Yerbatz, Moshe V'chido, where the Navi speaks about the wolf lying down with the lamb. Don't try that in the zoo, even in Yemos HaMashiach. It's a parable. It means Sheyia Yisrael Yoshim Levetach Im Rishay Akum Amashum Kizev and Amer, that we'll be able to dwell in relative peace with the nations of the world that hated us, who are compared to wolves and leopards. That's what it means, V'gar Ze'ev and Keves. We're the Keves. Everyone will return to the true faith. Velo yigzilu, lo yashchisu, won't steal, won't destroy things. Eliyochu davar hamuto benachas im Yisrael. They'll only eat what's proper, what's permissible. May consume what's permissible, like Jews. And all these things, can't call kayotzi be'el advarim be'inim ha-mashiach he-mashalim. They're all parables. Uvimos ha-melech ha-mashiach. When Mashiach comes, he'll take all these psukim, all these midrashim, and we'll be able to, all these agadatas, and we'll be able to understand exactly how the allegories play out. Beis, Amr Chachamim, Ein Bein Olam Azeli Mosa Mashiach El Hashibud Malchus Es Bilvad. The only difference between this world and the Messianic era is we're no longer subjugated by the nations of the world. That's the simple pshat from the Nevi'im. Shebetchilas Yimosa Mashiach, Tiyeh Milchemes Gog U'Magog, the great climactic war. Before Gog U'Magog, Yamod Novi, Liyasha Yisrael, L'Hochen Libam, before that great war, a prophet will arise to straighten out Klal Yisrael, to prepare our hearts, and that's Eliyahu HaNavi. Down. And Ram goes on to say that you shouldn't calculate, we don't fully know what's going to happen. When it happens, then will happen. Until then, it's all speculation. Dalet and Hare, most critical for the issue that we raised tonight, the why is this a Yisod? Lo nisabu hachachama nevi'im yimasa Mashiach lo kadei sheyishu to kol olam. The Chazal and Nevi'im did not desire the Messianic era so we should rule over the whole world. Lo kadei sheyordu ba'akum, we should lord it over the idolaters. Lo kadei sheyinasu osam am, not that we should be elevated over everyone else. It's not a question of politics or money or power. Lo kadei lecho v'lishtos v'lismoach, and not that we should be materially successful. That's not why we need or want Mashiach. They wanted Mashiach. I shouldn't say we. Who knows what people want Mashiach? Ela kidei sheyihu penuyim b'torah v'chachmasa. We desire Yimasa Mashiach, so we'll be free. We'll almost have more leisure time to be involved in Torah and Chachma. V'lo yelamdo geisim v'atel. There'll be no oppressor, no one to nullify our good desires. Kidei sheyizku l'chayim abo. So will merit the world to come. Note, according to the Rambam, as we've discussed in the past, the ultimate is Olam Haba. Olam Haba means we perfect our souls in this world for eternal life. Eternal life is not Yimasa Mashiach. Yimasa Mashiach is a boon to preparation for Olam Haba, because many of the problems that are obstacles and hindrances today, they'll be gone. What are they? Hey, Uva Osa Zman Liyasham Lo Rav Lo Milchama. In that era, there'll be no famine or war, lo kinav asachrus, no jealousy competition, shatova tiyeh mushpas harbe, the good will be extended across a very wide latitude, v'chala ma'adanim etzim kafar, and all delicacies will be available like dust is available today. V'lo yeh esek kol ha'olam, er lodas Hashem bolvad, the business of the world will not be business, it will be to know God. Ulafichach Yisrael chacham gedolim v'yodim dvar masumim v'yasigud asbarim kivikach adam. And we, of course, will be at the top of that list, in the forefront of that quest, the wisest sages, knowing even hidden matters, being able to understand matters of God as much as human beings can, and through us, it will pervade the world. Shenemar ki mala arzdeas Hashem kamaim lo yom echasim. And that's how the Yad HaChazakah ends. So now we return to the question of why. Why is Mashiach important? Why is it a Yisod? What would we miss without Mashiach? So for that, we'll turn to the He'amunos Vadeos in the eighth part, the eighth treatise of Rav Sadra Gaon, number 14 on the first page. Is the Rambam's vision universally accepted? No, because the people who take the words of the Agadatas and the Midrashim, some take it more literally than he does, and they posit all these things. Like the very interesting, in the Perish of Mishnayis, in Chelek, right before he mentions these Yisodos, he gives an example. So Gemara says that in the future, the the trees will give forth gluskos uchle melas. You'll get loaves of bread and suits of silk off the trees. All right? So that, on a simple level, is an expression of abundance, of just material bounty. You won't have to bake. You just go to a tree and pluck off a loaf of bread. You won't have to go to a clothing store and take a suit off a tree. Rambam says, that's not the pshat. Only a fool would think that's the pshat. But the pshat is very interesting. What he says there is that technology will be such that it'll be very easy to get bread and very easy to buy clothing, as if you're plucking it off a tree. even 150, 200 years ago, for example, how easy was it to get a suit? How many clothing options did people have? How often did people get new clothing? Not very often. It's expensive, it was difficult. It wasn't too long ago that people made everything by hand, that people baked everything by hand. Wasn't too long ago, I mean, it's not in our experience anymore. A woman would take a chicken to the shaychet to shech the chicken. Do you know anybody who does that today? Yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, people still do it. Anybody in our world who still takes a chicken to a shaychet? No. We have become so mechanized, so technologically savvy, that the ease by which we procure our needs is astonishing. And the Rambam says that's what Chazal meant. It's like it grows on trees. We just, whatever we want, you go to the mall, there are 100 stores, if you have the money, whatever you want is there. There's nothing you don't need. Most of it you don't need, by the way. But there's nothing that you want that you can't get there. That's what he's talking about. But others say, no, you just, when you teach just the medrash, oh yeah, the trees will have suits on them in everyone's size. So getting back to Psadragon, so why then is Geula such an important concept? So he notes four, he gives four reasons. First of them is that among these are the validation presented by the miracles performed by Moshe, the first to speak of these things. So the Geula of which Moshe spoke will validate Moshe himself and therefore give us a renewed impetus to obey the Torah. Secondly, is that God is just, doing no injustice, and he has already subjected this nation to a great and long protracted trial. This Reb Sajagon wrote in the 900s. It's a long and protracted trial. We're 11 centuries past when he wrote this. It was long even then. Which undoubtedly serves partly as punishment, partly as a test for us. Whatever it is, there must be a limitation of time, for such operations cannot proceed endlessly. Once then the end has been reached, there must needs be a cessation of the punishment of those punishable and compensation for those subjected to trial. So in fact, elementary justice demands that there be a geula. We'll get back to that point in a few moments. Third, God promised it. Dvar Hashem lo'olo. God promised it, and he's trustworthy in his promise. And finally, fourth, the fourth reason for believing in the redemption is the parallel we can make between the promises concerning it and God's first promise when we were in Egypt. And in fact, this we say in our davening every Shabbos. V'hu yashmienu shenis berachamov le'enei kolchoi le'os lochem le'lokim ani Hashem elokeichem. Shenis. We say shenis. Some shuls they say shenis 8 times. Shenis, 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 shenis. What's the rishon? What happened first? Shenis. Rishon was the Geula's Mitzrayim. Shane is the second time. What will we hear the second time? That's what we'll hear the second time as well. Just like it's Yitzias Mitzrayim. Always drives me up a wall, and it happens too frequently, that the Chazan will sing a nice melody, and then stop. Leinei kol choy. And then just add on, okay, throwing out these words. Leinei kol choy. The whole point of those last six words, that once again he'll cause us to hear Sheinis Le'ene Kochoi, in the eyes of all living creatures, we will hear Ani Hashem Lios Lachem Elokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. That's what we'll hear. Why those words are always drowned out? It's only by people who know what they're saying. They know what they're singing, but they don't know what they're saying. That's the essence of the phrase. Hu yashmenu sheinis, those six words. We'll hear it again. That's God's promise to us, just like in Mitzrayim, now as well. The question we did not answer yet is why we need Mashiach. And here you have, I know we want Mashiach. We want Mashiach now. The question is why we need Mashiach. So there are three reasons, all of which comes out of what the Sadja said and the Rambam says, etc. Firstly, Mashiach has two roles. Two roles that have been bifurcated for the last several thousand years. The Mashiach is a political leader, and Mashiach is a spiritual leader as well. Now the roles are divided with all the attendant confusion and difficulties that arise as a result. Those who want to separate religion and politics, so they've never heard of Moshe or Yeshua or David or Shlomo or Mashiach, because they were political leaders and spiritual leaders, and you can't separate one without the other. In fact, I mentioned in my book on Shoftim that that was one of the signs of degradation of the era of Devorah and Barak, to which the Novi refers, that for the first time in Jewish history, the political leader and the spiritual leader were distinct. Devorah was the spiritual leader, that she was a woman is a separate issue, but Barak, her husband, became the political leader. Once you have that separation, then it's a sign of the weakness of leadership, that you don't have one person who can guide us in both. To implement the Torah system in a society and then across the world requires a political leadership that's imbued with godless b'torah. The Gemara says, since Rebbe died, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, we don't find Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. You don't find it, and that's a great loss. Bias Mashiach restores the situation as it is. Now we have occasionally great rabbanim, and we have occasionally great political leaders. The fact that you don't have great rabbanim who are great political leaders, or great political leaders who are great rabbanim, it's a chisaron in the door. The truth is, we could have it. You think back, by the way, Michael remembers from Spain, Shmuel Hanogid, he was that prototype. A great political leader and a great general as well, and the Rosh Yeshiva. That was like one in the last two millennia. It's been a long time. That's a big loss to Jewish society in terms of our internal influence and our external.